Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season, you're gonna reap.
Good morning, my name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Welcome once again to our weekly internet program, Free on the Inside, the internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you can be in Christ Jesus. We'll coming to you once again with two great guests. I am very honored and pleased to have this young lady be on the network with me this morning here. She's no stranger to Blog Talk Free on the Inside program. She's been here once before, but she's going to give us an update on her latest writing. But we're going to bring to you right now at this time, Ms. Vera Squire. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Lewis.
Welcome once again.
Wow. I'm grateful.
You know what? I am so pleased to have you on here this morning. You know, I was just reminiscing the last time you was on here, you were sharing with us one of the books that really touched my heart. Will you please tell our listening audience about your past writing and then what you're writing at this time?
Okay. My past writing is the three books that I had wrote since Hurricane Katrina. First of all, I'm a native of New Orleans, Louisiana. And also was in New Orleans during the time of the hurricane. But I had left out, but when I left out, that's when I began to write more about the hurricane. But first of all, let me introduce myself. Okay, my name is Vera Squire. I'm a writer and more of a spiritual poetry writer. This is the way God is, you know, leading me. He is having me spreading his word through poetry writing. I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, and I love reading poetry at a very young age. But I started writing poetry at the age of 17 years old. But later on in my life, my poetry writing became more sharpened after the dark day in New Orleans, Louisiana, when Hurricane Katrina arrived on August the 29th, 2005. My place was destroyed, and the city, well, it was turned upside down. Although I moved to Texas after that, but I lost my place in New Orleans, but I didn't lose my joy in writing poetry. So this what brings me here to this point to where I started writing more about life and the way things happen and tragedy and even life experience happens, and for some reason God works through me through this particular way. So my book, Brother Lewis, that I had written was, first of all, was Soul to Soul of Inspiration. And this book only introduced you to the horrible day that touches on a few points about the hurricane. It's a paperback book, but it's filled with spiritual points of hope. My second book, and also it consists of 73 pages. This very short book. All three of my books are very short books. My second book, Black Gumbo, New Orleans, The Healing of a City in Ruins, August 29, 2005. Well, it's filled with the effect that it had on the people of New Orleans on that date. The first poem in the book, Black Gumbo, sums it all up. And this book only consists of 49 pages. But now my recent book that I've written is called A Short Story About Eve, It Was Not an Apple. This book is a hardback book. It only consists of 36 pages. But it's filled with power-packing reading from the Word of God. and some of my views on Eve. It's a Bible study book that I know that you will enjoy. You can purchase these books online at PublishAmerica.com or just click on the online bookstore or by calling Publish America number at 301-228-3853. But if you need to reach me for any questions, you could just email me at VeraSquire8@yahoo.com.
Oh, that is great. That is great. That's some good information there. Now, tell us about one of your books. It is Soul to Soul. I like that. I think you that's a book of poetry.
Yes, sir. A book of poetry. This book is more spiritual poetry, Brother Lewis. If people would just take out time and purchase this book. One of the poems in the book has earned me an Editor's Choice Award back in 2009. And it's called Angel Wonder.
Would you be able to share part of that with us this morning?
Yes, sir. I'll be more than welcome.
Again, what's the name of the poem that you're going to share with us and the book that it's out of?
Okay, this is the first book. It's called Soul to Soul of Inspiration. The title of the poem is He's a Wonder. And it goes like this. He's a wonder. He's a wonder to my soul. He's a wonder. He's a wonder. He's a wonder to my very being. These words I display come from grace, so I can one day find my place in the sun. He's a wonder. I wonder how can I go on to perceive these futuristic things this world obtained, only to find that it's better when I place it in. Hits me all my joy as well as all my pain. He's a wonder. My joy comes in like a river, sparkling in jubilance. My pain comes in when my enemies bruise my heart that starts to beat when I receive my first breath. It knocked me to my knees only to find that I can't get back up again by the blood that was shed for me on Mount Calvary. He went through these cracks and crevices and cleaned out this house that Jack never built. He cleaned out these wounds of bitterness. He trashed them. These wounds of disappointment. The list is lengthy. But he replaced them with his love, his peace, and his joy. The list is lengthy. Because Jesus is a wonder to my soul. Jesus is a wonder to my very being. He's a wonder. He's a wonder.
Hey, man, what a beautiful poem. What a beautiful poem. He's a wonder. I love that.
Thank you.
And you said that one helped win you an award, or a group of those poetries won you what type of award?
An Editor's Choice Award.
All right. Great. I have an honor to have you on, to be a guest this morning. Now, tell us some more about your writing here, Black Gumbo.
Okay. My Black Gumbo, it came about after this book about, I would say, a year after this book. And Brother Lewis, you know, the title itself, like Black Gumbo, well, I named it that because of the poem that I had wrote. I sit down one day and I was on the side of my bed and I thought about New Orleans and the tragedy and the devastation of the hurricane and that all that cost, you know, the effect that it had on a lot of people and also myself. And I just started writing, and the words that came to me was Black Gumbo. As unreal as it may seem, Black Gumbo is now a part of history. High stakes, urgent danger. Who was a stranger in New Orleans when she arrived on August the 29th, 2005? Now, because of this unwelcome stranger who shook, shaped, and shimmied her way through our streets unauthorized, When she came in, she came in with a vengeance. She made more people cry. Some even died because of the black eyes and the black skies that left a hole in the heart of a city that once rumbled. But to me, it's a city I'll now call Black Gumbo. Black as the night that skim across the wild blue yonder. I wonder how black a night can be when it was day in reality. After her hard hit, her right and left death that grabbed our attention, how a woman failed to mention how she dismantled cars and houses alike. She even managed to turn off all the lights. Hurricane Katrina was the name of the stranger that stumbled on a city that once rumbled. But to me, it's a city I now call Black Gumbo.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. That's great. That's lovely. And, you know, as you was reading that, I was getting visual pictures of New Orleans at that time there. I was seeing how things were shaping up there. And, you know, your writing tend to bring things alive.
Thank you. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking that, you know, as you put so much of yourself into it, how difficult is it to express your feelings on paper while listening to the audience and say, hey, I want to learn how to write. I have some skills that I don't know if I can get it across my feelings and put it on paper.
Well, first you reach within yourself. You develop a skill, but this your feeling. Write it on paper and express it the way you feel. And when it come out that way, people will just automatically maybe connect to what's going on, you know, and the things that you're trying to say, just kind of come, you bring it to life. And when young people, as old alike, they do the same thing. Somebody told me, well, if you can do it, I can do it. I want to write a book. I want to do this. I want to do that. And, you know, I said, you can. You can do it. It's not the age. You're ready to do what you need to do in writing, do it. It's never too late.
Oh, that is beautiful. That's great. Now, tell me now, you know, way the economy is and jobs and things, publishing. You know, now people can self-publish. How'd you go about getting your thoughts from paper to pad to print?
Well, it's a long story, but I'm going to make it very short. When I was hearing after Katrina, I went to the FEMA building. You know, FEMA was helping a lot of us who had this devastation that came through New Orleans. And a lady from the FEMA building, she, I told her, hey, I love to write poetry. She said, well, let me read some of it, because I had it on me at the time in my pocketbook. And I had a couple of poems, and I shared it with her. And she said, hold on a minute. I'm going to get you a publisher that's free to publish. Send them your poems and see what they think about them. So she said, you can't send them one or two. So you got to send, you know, as many as you have and just get it out there. So I sent it to Publish America. She said, this is a free publisher company that will have your manuscript and they will publish your book for free. But after that, you know, you go on and pay for your material as you go along. But at least if they like you, they will respond back to you. And, you know, you take it from there. So when you want to do this, Publish America, yeah, let me see. You can just go online and publishamerica.com and click on author manuscript, and you fill out that an application, and you get the manuscript to them. But when I first did that, to get back to what I was saying, Publish America came back, you know, they sent me in the mail and say, this is good. You need more. You need to give us more points. 15 points. 15 points, Ms. Squire, won't do. So I went back And I said, what am I going to do? I said, I thought about a gift. I said, okay, I'm going to spend more points in. And it was like 30 to 50 more points. You have to have a lot of points. So this is how the way they work, not one or two points. And after that, you know, the rest is history. My three books are published by Publish America. And
oh,
if you want to, oh, Brother Lewis, I tell you, tell the people, if you want to call them, just call them and get the information that they need and, you know, take it from there.
So it do work. It worked.
It works.
Yeah. Now, tell me, now, how long a process was it? Because I know as we submitted some information, we kind of like, wow, man, maybe it's taking too long. What was the give us just an average time from the time you first sent it out to you, they got back with you? Because we know that they do people probably all over the country, maybe even around the world. So what is the time that you sent yours out? Did you even forget that you had sent it out, or what happened after you sent it out?
I know. I just gave up on them for a minute because it was a while.
Give me some months of how long you think it was. Just so give our listening audience a sense.
Okay, about 4 to 5 months. 4 to 5 months.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And they sent me, you know, back. I guess it took that long because I had to redo some more points. And then I heard from them in the beginning of 6 months. And after that, yeah. So, but the second book and the third book took really no time. I heard from them in a flash.
Now, tell me that, do you...
Excuse me, what you say?
Now, do you have an assigned publisher that's working on you or on your manuscripts, or did they assign you someone to help you with this, or you just kind of submit something, they get back with you, and then you submit something else, or do they have someone that knows you by name, call you up, say, Ms. Squire, this is great, blah, blah, blah? Or what's the process?
Well, now they do. Now they give you, like, a certain person, if, you know, to call them about certain things that you need done for your book, for its book-wise. But really, they work as a team. It's teamwork, and after a while, the more you, you know, do what you have to do for your book and promoting your book, they know you by name. They will give you a call personally. You know, so, yeah, so it's pretty good.
And tell me, how did you feel when you first saw your poetry in a book form? And did it kind of blow your mind or what? What was that? Express that feeling to our listening audience.
I screamed. I went, I was so happy. I mean, I went around to my family. You know, you got to get your family first. I called my children. I said, wow. And they said, Mama, you do it. Mama, you do it. I said, yes, I do. I got to put together a book. And I told my immediately found my siblings, and I told them about it. And it was kind of a fall. And then, well, you can do it. I can do it. You know, it came about.
You know, that is so great there, because our program is to encourage other people to follow their dream and their passion and give God the glory. And as I talk with you and as I begin to know you better, I have a sense that you have a very special relationship with our Lord and Savior, and that you put all your trust in Him.
Exactly right. I can't do without Him. I wouldn't dare just trade Him for nothing. If it wasn't for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Oh, God, He brought me through so much. It's not just about Katrina. It's about life, period. You know, it's just no law. People just don't know. People like to say there is no God. But if you don't have no God in your life, if you don't have no hope.
That is so true. That is so true. And I work with juveniles, and I see they have a sense of wondering without any future. And programs like this and similar to a program similar to this here is to encourage our young and old people to follow their dream and their passion, because as we go through life, sometimes we get a little we get a little frustrated. Sometimes people's telling us that we're past our point of being used by God. We're past those points of being accepted by man. But we have to realize that God is able.
He is, and He is wonderful. They need to give Him a chance. Just give Him a chance. Let Him come in your heart and live within you. I know sometimes I'm scheduled to work on Sundays, and I said, that's why God put the church in your heart. It's not in the building.
That is so true.
I put on my gospel, I'm ready. You know, that is so true.
Yeah. And, you know, tell us some more about your writing here. Now, we're up on your other book, your last book, Eve, a story. It was not an apple.
An apple. Yes,
and, you know, a lot of times we always associate Eve with the apple and the falling. So tell us what. Tell us about the theme of that. Kind of get our curiosity up and make us want to go out and buy this book.
Let me tell you. Okay? First of all, the first time I wrote Eve, I was missing the meat, so to speak. And I went about, I said, this book, you know, it needs function. I say it's just, I'm taking words out the Bible, and I also read it to somebody, and he told me, okay, that's the Bible. No, but it's your writing. I said, Mr. Marshall, I'm going to rewrite the book. It's good to get other people's opinions when you're writing.
Yes, it is.
And I went on ahead and I got back in there and started writing again. And like the preface, the first part of the book says, okay, this is what I'll do. Before I can speak about Eve, I must first speak about Adam. And before I can speak about Adam, I must first speak about God. This is, although the subject of Eve is so widely spread in many religions and their view on this subject matter, I've chosen to state the facts from the King James Version of the Bible and a few of my own views on Eve. But the meat I started reaching for the fact that when God showed me this in a vision, the fruit. And the fruit only symbolizes of what life is about. And this was a dream that came about, Brother Lewis. And I started writing the book, and I included the dream. I said, because God likes the whole truth. He don't want to have stepping on anything. So when I wrote the book of Eve, I had decided to put the dream of what really happened with this book. I'm going to read you a page from it, Brother Lewis, if I can.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, this part here, it says, Eve, it was not an apple. Okay, before I continue with the story of Eve, I would like to tell you about the forbidden fruit. Let me tell you why I say it was not an apple. Let me start from the beginning. When I was writing the story of Eve, I had a dream about the forbidden fruit. It was on a clear day in the year of 2007 when I had this dream. Now, this dream was a kind of dream one would have when you might drift off to sleep or when you take a quick snooze. I would like to describe this dream for a moment. I saw a hand reaching for a fruit on a tree. The hand was of a biblical stature. Well, I knew then, in my dream, I was not in America. This remarkable event that was taking place before my very eyes was frightening. Let me explain. The hand that reached for the fruit was a bit hesitant for a moment, but it soon decided to take the fruit off the tree. Now the fruit that I saw was not an apple, but instead, this fruit was a fruit. In fact, in my dream, I felt like I was looking at the forbidden fruit from the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis. This remarkable event will soon solidify my inclination of my present thought. And till this day, I am still amazed.
Oh, that is great. That is beautiful writing. Now, Ms. Vera, as we get ready to wind down this program, again, tell us the sites that we can go to and pick up some of this writing here, because this is worth reading here. I love these three books here, Soul of Soul, Black Gumbo, Story of New Orleans in Ruins, and Eve, It Was Not an Apple. I love that, and we want to share that with our listening audience. Where can we pick those up at?
Okay, you can just, the simplest way you can do either Google Vera Squire Books, and you can see it online, or you could just call Publish America at this number, 301-228-3853.
Give us that number again.
Yes, it's 301-228-3853.
Okay, great, great. So our listening audience can get that number there. And, you know, this show here is archived, so anyone that failed to hear the entire interview, you can go back and listen to it. We on 24/7. And, Ms. Vera, our gift is to you is you can use this here on your website or your Facebook page or wherever you seem to. Just encourage yourself. Because sometimes we need to be encouraged, you know. And so you've been a great guest, you know. And we love to continue to have you to be on here anytime that you have a desire. Because we want to continue to follow your writings. And we want to be able to share your gifting with our listening audience. Because who knows, maybe someone listened to this program that said, hey, I could do that. I can do that. And then you done gave them a site that they can go and get some free publishing. And a lot of times people say, well, you send your manuscript in with $500 and we'll consider it, you know.
Yeah, and that's the truth. But let me tell you, Brother Lewis, I got a YouTube with the Black Gumbo, the Point Black Gumbo. If anybody want to go to my YouTube, you just Vera Squire YouTube, Black Gumbo.
Great, great. Well, thank you, then. I tell you what, we're going to make a point to go to that there, and we're going to put a link up to that program on our Blog Talk program, because we want to get you full exposure to the best of our ability, because we want to encourage people. We're not getting anything out of it, but we want people to follow their dreams and their passion and to be successful. That's what it's all about, and God get the glory.
All the time, all the time. And Brother Lewis, I appreciate you. I thank you. You're my brother in Christ. I just love your program. As much as I just turns it on, I say, this is good, this is good, this is good information. You have the best guest.
Well, God bless you. Thank you, my sister. I tell you what, we're going to talk again, but enjoy your day. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing your gift and your talent. And we have another great guest that's coming up here in a few minutes here. He's a young man out of Michigan, and he had a blog talk radio called Let's Talk Christ. And he was sharing his gift, and he was 17 years old, and now he's going on to college, so he's been doing it. He's been talking Christ for a number of years, and it's great to see young men encouraging other young people.
Wow,
so you have an opportunity to continue to listen, and we're gonna continue to do what God asked us to do. And that's to spread the word. It's the same thing you do. Hey, thank you again, and just sit back and relax. Enjoy the remainder of your day.
Thank you. Same to you.
Oh, God bless you all. What a great guest we had this morning here. Amen. What a great guest we had with Ms. Vera Squire. She came on here and she shared her gift and her talent with us. And we're bringing in our next guest in a few minutes. But we have our co-host on the line here. He came in, and we were able to bring him in during our interview. Good morning there, Brother Daniel.
How you doing, Dick Lewis?
I'm doing great. We're sorry we missed you on our first interview here. We saw you just came up. But Ms. Vera Squire, she's the author of three books, a great set of poetry, short stories. And she was sharing her gifts and talent with, and also sharing some information on how we can get some free publishing of our magazine, our articles and short stories. And that's great information to have, because a lot of us have books and stories in us, but we don't know how to get them on paper and on print. And so she has been very, And so what we're going to do now, we're going to bring in another guest that's going to come in a few minutes. He's a young man. He had a Blog Talk radio program, a young minister. And so we're going to bring him in, and he's going to share his gift and talent. And do you have a poem for us today?
Yeah, probably later on in the hour.
Yeah, later on and everything. So I'll tell you what, just kick back and relax. We're going to bring him in, and then we're going to bring you on, and then we're going to just do what God asked us to do.
Okay.
All right, just sit tight then. And we're going to break. Again, you two can join the conversation. The number is 310-982-4126. Call in and make your comments regarding our program. Say hello to the guests and just encourage our guests. And in turn, you can encourage yourself too, because we realize that a lot went on this past week. But, you know, this is God's business. And sometimes you could be struggling with some things. You hear someone else telling you how they overcame certain things in their life. You said, man, that was me at one time. And then also we have information that that you, too, can be able to draw off of for ministry purposes or just encourage your own self here. Because we had all our guests that comes on here are very gifted and talented, but they're just regular people. They regular people doing extraordinary things. That was blows my mind. You know, these people, they're educated, but yet they are very humble and committed to what they're doing. And we're calling up our next guest here. You may hear the phone ringing, and we're going to bring them aboard.
Hello.
Good morning, Raymond. You're on the net.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Well, thank you very much for being a guest on our weekly internet program, Free on the Inside. And Raymond, you know what, brother? I am very excited about having you to be a guest on here. You've been here before.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you. I'm glad to be on here.
And the way I heard you, man, you had an internet program at one time said, Let's Talk Christ. I love that, man.
Yes, sir. That's the name of it.
Yeah, so please introduce yourself to us and tell us about your gift and talent and where God is leading you to now.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'm Youth Minister Raymond Huff, and I come from Warren, Michigan. I attend the Church of Life Eternal Ministries with my parents, Pastor Henry and Renee Nicholson, are my pastors. And I have a calling to ministry ever since before I was born, my mom told me. And I will be a youth pastor. We're working on that. And then ultimately, I will be a pastor and help my dad pastor the various churches that he plants. And so that's pretty much my future for now as far as ministry.
Amen, amen. So tell us about the program that you had at one time, man. Let's Talk Christ. Man, how did you come about doing that? Because I heard, man, and I was blown away by that, man. That was a great program.
Yeah, I was sitting in service at my old church before my parents started pastoring, and I think it was altar call going on, and I had a notebook and some paper because I was taking notes from the service, and God just started telling me. He gave me a vision of me sitting in a radio studio or what have you, and God told me that I needed to start doing something like that, and he gave me the idea to do it, and I talked to my parents, and I think it was my mom that actually gave me the name, and so I just went with one of the first things that she said, and I started working on that. My dad was actually had something on blogtalkradio.com, and he was doing music for people who were going to work and stuff like rush hour. He would play like gospel rap and different types of gospel. And so he had told me about Blog Talk, and he actually put me on the website and helped me set up and everything.
Oh, that's great. You know, I heard a few of your messages, man, and it really made an impact in my life and our young people. How were you able to navigate your Christian life and just living life in general? Because we realize a young person have so many things that are being presented, man, that's ungodly. But how were you able to be rooted and grounded and stay focused?
Prayer, number one, and most importantly, and the fact that I'm in the church and have been raised in church all my life, and my parents are definitely a big influence and a big help to help me stay focused and stay on track.
Oh, that's great. Now tell me, now, how did some of your friends react when they found out you was on Blog Talk Radio, you was doing a Christian format type radio when you could have been doing other things? And how did your peers relate to that?
A lot of them felt that it was great, and some of them didn't necessarily have a computer or anything, but I gave them the number to call in. I heard some of them said that they listened, and you know, like I said, a few of them, like or more than few, said that it was a really good idea and that they was trying to listen in, and they thought what I was doing was good.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And you know, Raymond, as you doing this here and you sharing your relationship with our Lord and Savior, did you get a sense that your peers were being connected and they were seeking to having a relationship with God? Those that you don't, you know, that you know that was outside of church, you know, outside of church, and the one that may have listened, one that just knew you, did you have a sense that because of your relationship with God, it allowed them to have a closer relationship with God?
Yeah, I feel that's definitely in effect.
You know, and sometimes, you know, being in the body or being a Christian, we seem to be seen, sometimes it seems like the people may lock us out about social events and social activities. Have you ever had that sense that maybe because of your relationship with God that sometimes you weren't invited to a party or to a dinner or to a setting?
No, I don't feel it's because of that. I feel like it's because of who I am personally. I'm not trying to isolate the fact that being saved, I wouldn't do any of those things. But besides that, even if I wasn't saved, that's just really not who I am. I think I get it from my mom because she says, like, even when she was younger and she was coming up, she was never the party type. I think she says she's never even been to a party, been to a club or anything. And so I really think that I inherited that trait because I'm really not like a party person or a club type person. I don't drink or smoke or anything, never have. And I got saved when I was 7, so I can't say even before I was saved, I never even had a chance to, you know, want to. So even if I never got invited, I wouldn't have wanted to ever go.
Well, that's great. Really, I ask that because I know that sometimes, you know, as you're going through life, you know, people tend to say, well, you know, you got a relationship that's not like ours, so we can't invite you, we can't do things. I have been exposed to that, and it used to hurt me at one time because I was new in Christ, but now as I matured better, I see that God had the best for me. He would allow me to go to some of those places. He would allow me to be exposed to some of those things. And in a sense, I think that he was doing you the same way. You know, from very birth, he had a special calling for you.
Right.
Now, Ray, what would you tell a young person that's wrestling with things that's going on today, man? You know how drugs, gang activity, crazy lifestyle is being presented at every turn. What would you tell a young person, male or female, how to navigate through life and keeping Christ first?
I would tell them to pray, and more specifically to pray for strength, because we could just start praying, but that doesn't mean God will give us strength. We have to ask. So I would tell them to pray and ask God for strength and ask God for self-control, also importantly, because you can have strength and not use it wisely, and you can also not have self-control. So I would tell them to pray and ask God, you know, for strength, to be strong enough to resist, and have self-control to control urges or the temptations or, you know, impulses. Because sometimes, even as teenagers in general and people in general, we can be very impulsive. So, you know, a quick decision to act, like we're quick to act. So we need self-control so we can slow ourselves down and control our impulses so we won't just be so quick to act and quick to do the first thing that comes to our mind. So that's what I would tell them, you know, pray and ask God for self-control and pray and ask God for strength. And I would also tell them to read one of my most favorite scriptures that's really, I feel, is direct and to the point. James 4:7, I believe it is, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he shall flee from you.
Oh, that's great. Now, you know, Raymond, I listened to your programs quite a while, and I had listened to it lately. But will you be able to give us, like, a little mini message that you do on your program? Because I know your program was only 15 minutes short. But just to give our listening audience a sense that you being called by God and for a very particular purpose, because we our programs toward our young men and women. I do jail and juvenile ministry, and I let them know that God is able, from young to old. He calls Samuel. Without Sammy even knowing who he was, and even though we don't know the word of God, he still can call us. Would you be able to share with us just one of your favorite messages that you get on your program, if you can?
Let me see. It's been such a while, unfortunately, to say it's been such
That's
a while.
Okay.
Let me see. The thing that first comes to mind, for whatever reason, is I think the message I had did on depression. Yeah, it may not be exactly what I said on the show, but
that's
what comes to mind. So one of the things that I have dealt with, I think, is the reason why some of our young people, or a lot of our young people, are depressed is it could be a factor of not having love for yourself. And also, it's a spirit, of course, because depression is not of God. God does not want us to be sad. God does not want us to think about committing suicide. That is definitely not God's intentions. That is ungodly, and that is the devil, because he wants us to kill our own selves off. I know the Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he wants us to do his dirty work, too. Whatever he can do to make his job easier. If he could plant a seed of suicide, then he's happy. Even if we don't carry it out, he's like, I've already put it in their mind. And he's hoping that we carry it out one day. And that's a spirit. Depression is a spirit because it could come from somebody else. Like it could be from a certain group of people that we hang around when we know the person is sad. And we don't even necessarily know that they're depressed. We could see that they're very sad. And then we can, you know, go wherever we need to go after that. And then there's a spirit that can attach to us, and we wouldn't have even known. And so the devil plants seeds, you know, of sadness, of suicide, of anger, and it could come from a divorce of parents, a loss of a loved one. It could come from various different things. But I just want our young people to be encouraged because we have so much to live for. And we have a work to do for God. And if we kill that off, then we have to be accountable at Judgment Day and answer to God as to why we killed our gift. Because when people have killed themselves or our young people take our lives, I mean, it's probably young people committing suicide right now, which is a very sad and unfortunate fact. But I'm not really sure the statistics on how often they commit suicide at the moment or how many are depressed right now. But I'm pretty sure there's some young person in the world who's either thinking about suicide or have just committed suicide. And also depression, I think, and suicide is very selfish. Like, we don't consider our parents. We don't consider the people that loved us and try to, you know, talk to the young people how to commit suicide and depression, which is very selfish. Like, sometimes I don't want to necessarily say you can't help but be depressed, but there are certain things that we don't have control over which evoke emotion in us. Like I said, the loss of a loved one could be a very, very big deal. Like, I've lost both of my grandparents, both my grandfathers, the one on my mom's side and the one on my dad's side, which was very, very sad. I wasn't necessarily depressed, but I was, you know, very upset and very sad. And I had lost my great-grandmother. I lost an uncle. I lost a cousin. I think it might have been some gang-related activity, my mom had told me. But I think Warner Seminole in Detroit, that he was in an alley. I think he was begging for his life. He might have owed some money to somebody. And she told me that he had turned around to run. And the guy shot him in the back of his head and he died. And, like, that was back in, I think, 2008 or 2005 or something. It was just a year where I had lost a couple family members, which was very tragic. But my mom was a very big help. She helped me to, you know, get by it. It's not like I don't think about it. Of course I do. I lost my grandparent, and I also lost an auntie who I was very close with. And when I was younger, my mom had a baby, I had a sister, and she died only a couple minutes after she was born. And I was young at the time, so it really didn't affect me when I was younger. But now it does. Her birthday was October 5th, and so it was a very rough time for me and my mom. My mom still cries about it to this day, but she's still very much encouraged. She prays, and I help her through her time of grief. I can never understand the pain. And I want to tell, you know, some people who are trying to help talk to the young people, like, even though we may find it so very small or a crazy reason in our opinion is for why a young person is sad, we can't totally relate to why a young person is depressed unless you have been through the exact same thing. And my mom told me the other day, even then, if you have a similar situation, you still can't fully relate to a young person or anybody who is depressed, because even though you might have been through the same situation, you're still a different person, and you handle a situation differently. So that's how a young person is. You can't fully relate to what a young person is going through right now because you're not exactly them. You're a different person. You might try to relate, but it won't necessarily fully work because you're not that same person. And what you can do is help talk them through it. You can, you know, if they're not saved, you can point them to God. And if they are saved, remind them of the scripture, you can tell them to pray and tell them that, you know, God does not desire you to be sad, because being sad stops you, or, you know, if a person allows it, can stop you from doing the work in the will of God, because it can take you to a place to where you don't even want to do anything, where you feel lazy, where you feel helpless, and where you feel like you really just don't want to get back up on your feet. And so sadness can slow a person down, you know, if they let it. Like, you could be sad and still function and still go about doing whatever it is that you have to do, but some people just allow it to consume them, and that is not the will of God, because, as we know, we have a work and a will to do for God. Whatever God's purpose for your life is, that's what you're supposed to do. So when you're sad, when you're depressed, I really think that depression is a distraction of the enemy, because it really kind of stops you in writing the tracks if you allow it. Like, you could be doing the will, working the will of God, and you could be living right, and then, you know, all of a sudden you lose a loved one, and then you're probably, maybe you're having a bad day, and then you allow depression to take you over, and then you're stopped doing what you're supposed to do for the Lord. You just tend to stay to yourself. But like I said, that's selfish, because God wants you to have a relationship with Him. And if you're allowing depression and sadness to consume you, you won't feel like doing anything. And God, you know, as we know, doesn't really like lazy people. That's why we have pastors and people who are godly and authority over us to motivate us. And I think that's the reason why a lot of young people don't understand the concept of having a pastor or a youth minister or a youth pastor or whoever that mentor might be in place or in their lives, especially the ones who aren't, say, you know, the ones who have problems with authority or who don't like being told what to do. They don't really understand that those people who are in charge or those people who are there are really looking out for our souls and are really, you know, trying to motivate us and tell us that we can count on God no matter what we have done, no matter where we have been in our lives, no matter what we're even doing right now, that God loves us and that God has a calling on our lives. You know, for the ones who are able to sense a gift in the young people, they're trying to tell them that you have a gift and you have a calling. There is something greater in life that you're supposed to be doing. There's something in store for your life. And if you take that away, then you will have to be, you know, accounted for. And also, they're there to tell them that the gift isn't just for you. Your gift, even though you may not see it right now, can change the lives of even millions or even the whole world. But if you don't accept that, you'll never know, and certain lives won't even be changed because you never walked in your gift. There's certain lives and certain groups of people whose lives won't change unless you're there, or unless they hear you talk. There's certain groups of people that I can't even reach because somebody else is supposed to touch their lives, or vice versa. Somebody can't change the lives of a certain person because I'm supposed to be there. And so that's what I really feel about it. Were you about to say something?
Yes, sir. You know what? That was powerful, that right? That was powerful. And you know what? And you are so right. And I hope our young people and our young listening audience and the older adults will realize that, you know, they too can help change a life. You know, that's one of our logos on our program. It said, help change a life. You know, we can't do anything apart from God. But as you said, because you was assigned to a particular task, and if you don't do that task, someone may not be able to accomplish what God had for them because you wasn't there.
Right.
Raymond, this has been a great interview, brother. I hate to cut this short, man. And you know what? Thank you for being a guest on the program, man. And again, we are talking to Raymond Huffy. He was the host of Let's Talk Christ, a Blog Talk radio program that was on Blog Talk Network. And Raymond, thank you, brother. Now, Raymond, how old was you when you started that program?
I want to say 16 or 17.
Yeah, I think you was about 16 or 17. And you can you imagine 16, 17-year-old talking about Let's Talk Christ. Man, that's powerful. I get excited every time I think about that, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hey, Raymond, thank you for being a guest, man. Enjoy the remainder of your day, brother. You know, you know how this Blog Talk Network works. It's the show, the archive. You can always go back and listen to it and encourage yourself and maybe post it on your Facebook page or whatever you have a desire to do, man. But keep doing what you're doing. Encourage someone, man. Help change a life.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
God bless you. What a great interview that we had there with Brother Raymond. Now, he spent some time with us, and he was sharing with us about the goodness of God and everything that's going on in his life here. Amen. And we got a few minutes remaining. We're going to bring our co-host in here, and he's going to come right on here in a few minutes here. Good morning, Mr. Daniel.
Yes.
Oh, man, thank you for holding on, brother.
That was some powerful words from a young man, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was. He's been on here before, man. He was 16 years old. And, you know, we've been doing this almost 3 years now. So he actually about 19 years old now. Can you imagine 16 years old having a program called Let's Talk Christ? I like that, man.
Amen. 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 So today I got a poem. And the name of this poem is called Lonely Feelings. I have this awful feeling on my inside. It is not fear, and it is not pride. This feeling inside leaves a painful spot. I feel like my heart is starting to rot. I see myself alone in some awkward place. I think my heart is losing its place. I hope I would die. This I wish, but I keep on going for this person I miss. The sadness I feel, described also as pain. I never felt happy because my heart is in so pain. Sometimes I dream of this glorious place, and all that I see is a beautiful face. Sometimes I think that my teardrops are blood. I feel that my heart crying for love. I hate the fact that she left me so soon. I wish I could start all over inside her womb. She's still in my soul, this I know. I know that she'll stay there and never will go. Inside I feel no love, no need to live. To hold her once more, my life I would give. And this is by an inmate called Jesse.
Hey, man, what a great poem there by an inmate called Jesse, man. You know what? Brother Daniel, I thank you for sharing your poetry with us, man. You know, that's pretty well is in line with what we was doing today. We had Miss Vera Squire. She came on and she shared three of her short stories with us, and she also is a poet, and she put her passion on paper, man. And so I thank you and her for sharing y'all gifting and your talent. And, man, and I'm encouraged by what you're doing each and every week, man. And as you come on here, you make this show what it is. You know that, don't you, brother?
Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you, brother.
Oh, yeah, it is. And you know what? We're getting ready to get out of here. We got quite a bit of things to do today, man. But we want to always keep Christ first in anything that we do. And you, too, can go back and listen to this program again and again and again on blogtalkradio.com/Granny's Place. And Brother Dane, we're looking for some great guests next week, man. We're going to bring on a couple other guests next week, if Lord's permitting it, and then we're just going to just do the business at hand. Cause you know what? This is something that's needed, because we're touching the young and the old, the talented, the gifted, all for the glory of God. You know, as you were sharing your poetry, man, can you imagine the people that's being uplifted and blessed by hearing that poem, man? You know, everyone heard it, but they heard it at a different, let's say at a different level, a different insight. And you know, we have some people that's crying right today, man, that they miss someone dear to their heart. Our brother just shared that because a loved one in his life was no longer there, it caused them to be depressed. Can you imagine young people are depressed and suicide? Yeah. But they just don't want to die. They want to take other people with them, man. That's the madness of it, brother.
Yeah, like he said, it's a spirit.
It's a spirit, man. And it's roaming to and fro, man. And it's seeing who it may devour, man. But we thank God for using young people to encourage young people. Because, you know, as he was saying, he said something that really touched my heart. He said, hey, you know, because of my relationship and where I'm being assigned at that time, I could change the life of someone.
Amen.
You know, and yes, you know, and that's something that we stand out for every time we send someone, say, help change a life. You know, brother, look, this is what we're doing, man. But you know what? What you sharing today, you helped change somebody's life. We never know the little things that we do, man, that makes a big difference in someone's life.
Amen.
And, you know, same thing about our first guest on, Miss Vera. You know, what she's doing. You know, can you imagine the people that heard her writing and heard about the resources that she have available for her writing and how she shared that with someone else, and they probably writing that number down, writing the name of the publisher down. They may be contacting them. And we can have the next great author that's listening to the program say, hey, I remember someone told me. I don't remember where it was, but I heard it, and I call this number. I email this company. And before you know it, they're making my magazine out of my article out of a story. I'm a playwright. You're a writer, you know, write movies. Because we never know.
Yeah, you never know what you do to change people, you know. We've been in the world, and America's been going through a lot of change in the last 3 days.
Oh, yes, it has.
Yeah.
And you know what, Ricky, these changes are actually shaping America right now, man. Well, after this here ordeal is over, man, we're going to see a different structure, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You think so?
We're going to be a different structure. Whichever side wins, the Republican or the Democrat, we're going to see it totally being structured differently.
Yeah, you never should let nothing like this go on, though.
And we know this is a demonic spirit, man. We know that, you know, that the rulers of this world is trying to pull down the things that God have ordained from the very beginning. God knew we was going to be up against, this was going to be going on. But he put men and women in place, man. He put people in there, man, that will never meet us, man. But we're going to be, we're going to feel the results of what they're doing, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad because it's all about helping people get well.
Yeah.
You're supposed to make people well instead of charging them money. I always thought that maybe, you know, you're supposed to heal, you know, and then the thing about it, Jesus don't offer, he don't ask for nothing to heal you with.
You know, Ricky, Ricky, you know, I've been working my whole life, but a guy that ain't working, a guy that seems to be just hustling and stuff, I still want him to have medical treatment, just like I'm not going to be mad at him, but because of what somebody cared for him, it may change his life. So, man, I don't deserve this, but I have an opportunity because people pray for me, people put things in position to help me change my life, because I always got a raw deal, but now that I'm down and out, I deserve to die and suffer, but now someone is going to try to help me. And we never know, man. I don't want the brother because he's out there begging for bread every day because he gets sick saying, oh, yeah, that's what you deserve. No, he don't deserve that, man. He deserves more than that. He deserves to be treated with compassion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
You know, yes,
I,
I'm working. And so we,
you know, I go back to the street and I be in the car and you see these guys sitting on the side of the highway with these signs in their hands, you know.
Yeah.
And you never want you see somebody like that, and you never knew you see anybody like that.
Yeah, yeah. And you're so right. Hey, man, we got to get out of here, man. We're going to have another program next weekend, man. I want you to come on in, man, and enjoy our conversation here, brother. This has been a great show. Remember the guests we had in here. Remember, you can always go back and listen to this program. And, again, thank you for the poems that you present each and every week.
Right, next week. I have a nice one next week. I kind of caught me off guard today. I woke up kind of late today, and I woke up kind of like on the last part of the, you know, your first part of your guest. Going off, God, you know, but it be like that sometimes, you know. But
yes, it do. But thank you very much, man. And we'll be doing this here later on, okay?
All right.
And you have a blessed day, man. We're getting ready to wind down. We want to thank you for listening to this program. We want to ask you to be encouraged, help change the life of someone. We never know what God is going to do or how he's going to use us, man. But put yourself in position to be used by God. Put yourself in a position to be an encourager. Put yourself in a position to let people know that there's more to you than doing what you're doing. As we get ready to wind down here, we will never leave this program without giving you a word of prayer and encouragement. Encouraging you. Grace and Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for this day that was not promised to us. Dear Lord, as this program is being brought about, dear Lord, we pray, dear Lord, it fall upon fertile ground. We thank you for the guest that came on this morning, dear Lord, Vera Squire, dear Lord. We thank you for her gift and her talent, dear Lord. And the way that she presents herself, dear Lord, we pray that it is pleasing to thy sight, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we ask you to bless her, dear Lord. We ask you to increase her territory. Dear Lord, we thank you for our young brother, our youth minister, Raymond Huff, dear Lord, that had a blog talk radio saying, let's talk Christ. Can you imagine a young person saying, let's talk Christ? They could be talking about anything there, but he wants to talk about Christ. Dear Lord, bless him, encourage him, keep him in perfect peace. Dear Lord, thank you for Brother Daniel that came on, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for the listening audience that we have, dear Lord. Do we pray, dear Lord, that this program would help change the life of someone. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.